1 and 2 Corinthians, chapter number 2, and verse number 11. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, most of you at least are there. So it's a short verse. If I don't wait for you to get there, you're going to miss it. It'll be past. So we'll wait just a second. There's a few Bibles turning still. But in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 11, the Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. If you've ever been involved in any type of competition, if you've participated in any type of sport, or even an academic event, or maybe one that recognizes the creative arts, anytime you add the element of competition, there is going to be those who would seek for an advantage. Now, there's not necessarily anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having the advantage. I mean, you can gain the advantage by discipline and hard work, by committing yourself to that field, whatever it might be, and continually pushing and exercising and working and developing your ability, and that would give you an advantage. In the business world, they call it a differential advantage. What is your differential advantage? Why would somebody choose to come to your company over somebody else's? What are you offering? What are you providing? What service are you giving that they are not? What is your differential advantage? Why would they buy your product over somebody else's? There's nothing wrong with having or striving to get an advantage. Now, we, of course, know that in our world today, especially in the area of sports and today even in the area of academics, there are those that seek to try and get an advantage through the use of performance-enhancing drugs. Now, that, of course, is frowned upon. Not wise. It's illegal in many situations and, of course, can harm and hurt the body and shouldn't be done. Let me just throw this out there. There are a lot of young people, even academically, that are pushed to use performance-enhancing drugs because of the pressure put on them by their parents. Because mom and dad want to succeed through their children. Not because mom and dad want their children to succeed. That's the difference. Mom and dad want to succeed through their children. And they put that pressure on their children, and the child believes that they cannot make mom and dad happy unless they perform beyond their God-given ability. And they try and use drugs to do it, and that's a sad situation. You need to reinforce your love for your children and let them know that you'll love them if they're doing their best and they're pleasing God. You'll be okay with that. They don't have to be the best in the world. They just have to be the best they can be. And God is pleased with that, and you're pleased with that. And don't push them towards that. We seek for the advantage. We all like to have the advantage. In fact, when we are on the winning side, when we have the advantage, that's fun. That's exciting. Like, oh yeah, we are moving. We're doing good. We're enjoying this. But when we are at a disadvantage, we say, hey, that's not fair. That's not fair. You're bigger than me. You're stronger than me. You got faster legs than me. That's not fair. You have more God-given ability than me. We like to cry, it's not fair. But when we have the advantage, we like that. I want to remind you this morning that we are in a spiritual battle. Just as much as there is, in fact, that we know that there's a God in heaven and he hears and answers our prayers, there's a Holy Spirit that dwells in our hearts and he is our comforter, we also have an enemy. And this enemy seeks to have an advantage over you. You and I, we know that we are supposed to be soldiers of the cross. that we've enlisted in the battle, that we are in a spiritual battle for the hearts and minds of men, for the souls of lost men. We are in a battle that rages for the sanctified life. And in this battle, Satan is attempting to take an advantage. Your enemy in any battle, you work hard to try and have an advantage over the enemy. And you work extra hard to be sure that they don't have an advantage over you. Well, Satan seeks to have an advantage over us. This morning, for a few minutes, I want to preach to you a message that I have entitled, Satan's Attempt to Take an Advantage. Satan's Attempt to Take an Advantage. We're going to start here and we're going to close here, but I want to just let you know that you and I, we have the advantage over Satan. We already have the advantage because we know that we're on the winning side. We know that God has already defeated Satan and taken his power away, and he's on our side, and we are the victors in the end. So we, in the position that we stand right now, we have the advantage. But Satan seeks to get an advantage over you and over me. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Would you mind if I pray and ask God to open our hearts and minds and feed us from the Word of God here for just a moment? Lord, we thank you for today and the opportunity to preach your Word. I pray, dear God, you'd give me liberty to preach. I pray that you'd open up the pages of Scriptures. I pray you'd give us ears to hear and, Lord, commitment to not just be hearers, but to be doers of the Word. I pray, God, that people would be strengthened this morning, that some would be challenged to step beyond and to take away the advantage that they've given to Satan himself in their life. I pray that some would step back on the winning side. And Lord, I pray that you would draw the lost unto yourself as they see the truths of the Scriptures this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to see, first of all, just turn back to 2 Corinthians. You're in 2 Corinthians, rather, turn back to chapter number 4. I want you to see the first way in which Satan seeks to have an advantage over us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3 and verse number 4. The first way Satan desires to have an advantage over us is found here in these verses. He says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God," notice little g, "the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." First thing that Satan tries to do to have the advantage over us is he tries to blind you. He blinds you. He blinds the hearts and minds of men. Satan blinds us from the truth of the Scriptures. You see, we look at the Scriptures and we see the truth of the Scriptures. We see the truth of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And to those that are saved, you see it and you say, "Man, that's so simple. Why can't you believe it? That's so straightforward. I mean, it makes perfect sense. I mean, all it takes is the faith of a child, and you could be saved and on your way to heaven." And we wonder why people wouldn't just accept it. If the light of the glorious gospel is hid, it's hid to them who are lost, because Satan hath blinded them. Satan blinds them to the truths of the Word of God, to the Scripture that is taught, that says that all you have to do in order to get to heaven, to go to heaven, to be sure of your home in heaven, is believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. All you've got to do is believe. And people say, oh, well, nope, it can't be that easy. What I've got to do is I've got to work real hard my whole life and you know, kind of stick to that golden rule and treat others like I want to be treated. And if I do real good when I get to the end, I'm going to be all right. They're blinded. Because that's not what the Bible says about getting to heaven. People think, well, I've got to go to church and I've got to be faithful to God in that way. And hey, amen and praise the Lord for those that want to go to church. But what I'm talking about is going to heaven, being sure to your home in heaven and outside of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the message of the gospel, you won't get there. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how religious you are. You won't get there. And we wonder why, by the multitudes, yea, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And we wonder why there's so many running down that path headlong after destruction. It's because Satan blinded their eyes. Satan has blinded them. And we at Hunt Valley Baptist Church gathering here on a Sunday morning, and the Bible says through the foolishness of preaching, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we try to open the pages of Scripture and for a few minutes give you truths from the word of God that hopefully that for a minute we might take some time and get the blinders taken off. That you might see the word of God and the truths of his word, that you might know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. If you're here today and this doesn't make sense to you, it's because you're blinded. You're blinded by Satan himself. Don't let him have an advantage over you. Don't let Satan take you to an eternity in a place called hell, which was meant for him and his angels, by blinding you. Take the blinders off this morning. Satan blinds the world to the truth of the Scriptures. Satan blinds man from their own sin. You see, Jesus was the Son of God. He came in the world and he dwelt among us that he might save sinners. Now, he did a lot of other things while he was here. As we learned about in Sunday school, he was a healer. And Jesus, everywhere he went, he healed people. But that's not why he came. Jesus encouraged people and he strengthened people and he helped people. And many people think of Jesus as a great teacher. And certainly he was a great teacher, but that's not why he came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save sinners. The Apostle Paul, who we look at as one of the greatest missionaries and church planters that ever was, trusted Jesus Christ in serving God. Later in his life, he says that he came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. What I want you to understand this morning is Satan blinds men to their own sin. You see, they say, oh, I'm not that bad. I'm not. I'm pretty good. After all, I haven't killed anybody recently. I've never robbed any banks. I mean, I try to treat my neighbor good. After all, I mean, last week when there was a piece of trash in his yard, I picked it up. I'm a pretty good guy. Satan has blinded you to the fact that your sin, put Jesus Christ on the cross. How many sins do I have to commit to be a sinner? Just one. Satan likes to blind us and make us think, oh, we're doing okay. I'm all right. I'm a pretty good guy. I mean, look at the people in jail and look at what all they did and look at the people online and how they abuse people and how they take advantage of other people and look at all the scam artists out there and look at all these things. I mean, I'm a pretty good, decent, upstanding guy. You're a sinner, and without Jesus Christ, you'll spend eternity in a place called hell. Satan's blinded you to the fact that you have sin in your life. And we think it's okay, but we're not okay. We're not okay. But Jesus Christ and his precious blood can wash all that sin away. You say, man, Pastor Caleb, this is not encouraging. I'm warning you about the devil this morning. Satan tries to have an advantage over you. And he has blinded so many people to the truth of the Scriptures. He's blinded them to the fact that they are sinners, that they have sin, that they're not as good as they think they are. John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. As we know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus died to save sinners. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ, the only sinless one who ever lived on earth, became sin for us, that we through him might be made righteous. He came so that you could see. In John 9:39, he says this, and Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see. They which see not might see. Jesus' goal is to give you the ability to see. We came into church this morning and we're having surgery. We're doing LASIK surgery. We're going to, what'd you say your wife just had? Laser surgery. We're doing some laser surgery this morning. You're getting to the place where you got some blinders on. You've got some scales over your eyes. You've got to the place where the devil can't allow you to see spiritually. And this morning we're taking the Word of God and piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit into the heart and marrow of man where you live and letting the Word of God make a change in your life and bring you to the place where you can see the truth of the Scripture and stop believing the lie of the devil. You're here this morning and you're not saved. You're not on your way to heaven. You can't say that I know for sure that Jesus Christ has forgiven me of my sin and has taken me to heaven. Listen, Satan's got you blinded and we want to take the blinders off. If you're here this morning and you're sure beyond a shadow of a doubt, 100%, and you're excited about the fact that God has saved your soul, would you say amen?
Amen.
Now, if you couldn't say that, Satan's got you blinded. Don't remain blinded. Don't let Satan have an advantage over you. Now, if you did say that, I want you to understand that Satan has a desire to blind you, Christian. Satan wants to take the Christian and blind him as well. He blinds us to our current situation. He blinds us to think that everything's all right. After all, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I know how to carry a Bible. I go to church on Sundays. I'm good. I'm a Christian. I'm clean. Satan blinds you to the fact of where you really, truly are in your heart of hearts. Would you let the Word of God speak to you this morning? Satan blinds you to your situation. At the last men's prayer breakfast, I shared these verses with them. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, we see that we are to add to our faith. That passage of Scripture where we are to add to our faith as Christians, we are to be adding to our faith. And we know, according to this passage, we're to add to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. We're to be adding these things to our faith, and Satan's got us blinded to think we're okay because we're saved and we're on our way to heaven. And after all, Pastor Caleb, I know the terminology and I know what you're saying, and I can find the book of Romans without you telling me. I'm doing okay. The Bible says, add to your faith. He says, if these things be in you, ye abound that he make you, that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But verse number 9 says this, but he that lacketh these things is blind. He that lacketh these things is blind. How long has it been since you added to your faith? How long has it been since you've taken a step for Jesus Christ? Since you've made a forward motion for God? How long has it been since you've grown in your walk with Him? You've added some love and some charity and some temperance and some faith, and you've added meekness, and the fruit of the Spirit is evident in your life. How long has it been since you added these things? God said, if you're not adding to your faith, you're blind. Satan has got you blinded, and he's got us as Christians going through our life without sight, acting like everything's okay. And after all, we can kind of feel our way around. We can make it happen, right? We can look like a Christian, and it's okay. And you are living just a shell of what you could be in and through the power of God, transforming your life to make a true, real, positive impact for eternity on those around you, on those nearest, on your neighbors, and all nations. You're limited in what you could be doing because as a Christian, you're living blinded. You're not growing. You're not going forward for God, and Satan's got us blinded to think we're okay. Christian, we're not okay. We need God to lift the blinders off. And I think if some of us saw ourselves as we are, we would be like the prophet who said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." But we're not like that because we're blinded. Satan seeks to have an advantage over us by blinding us. God wants to open your eyes so you can see. Psalms 146, verse number 8. He says, "The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous." Isaiah 42, verse number 16. "And I will bring the blind by the way that they knew not. I will lead them in the paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them." Understand, God hasn't forsaken you. You've allowed the devil to gain advantage over you and blind you to your current situation. But God's not forsaken you. He wants to lift the blinders. He wants to be able to do that surgery and give you eyes to see spiritually. Not only does Satan desire to gain an advantage by blinding us, I want you to see that Satan desires to gain an advantage by bankrupting us. By bankrupting us. In 1 Peter 5, verse number 8, you guys know it. If you know it, quote it with me. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Seeking whom he may devour. That word devour literally means to gulp up, to entirely consume. To gulp up, to consume. Do you know that the devil desires to consume all that you have? It is his plan to bankrupt your life. And I'm not speaking, I know we think about bankruptcy in the terms of financial things, and that's certainly part of it, but I want you to know that the most valuable things in life are not finances. And the devil would try and bankrupt those things which are most valuable to you. The devil will try and take all of your time and use it for things that are of no value for eternity, and he'll bankrupt your life. He'll consume it all. You know that's his desire to do to each and every single person. You know, even those people who serve him, even those people, I mean, I've knocked on doors and I've stood at parks and talked to people and they said, "Oh, I serve Satan." Do you know even that person, Satan desires to destroy them? Even the one that they're serving. Do you know, just like the man who at the bar is taking a drink? You know, one drink at a time, he's destroying his life. He will ultimately get to the place where he will lose all of his finances and he'll lose all of his family and then he'll lose his place to live and he'll live on the street and he'll wonder, "How did I get here?" The devil's desire to bankrupt your life. The drug addict whose life is being consumed one shot, one snort at a time. That's Satan's plan. He wants to bankrupt your life. He would have you continue down a path of destruction until there's nothing left. And because of our first point, we don't even see it. Because we're blinded. But do you know that God has power over Satan? The Bible says that he will rebuke the devourer. Satan seeks to devour you, but God can rebuke the devourer. I think of the three Hebrew children and how they wanted to kill him. The king was so mad at him, he bound him and he threw him into the fire. But the fire couldn't touch him. The fire couldn't even make him smell like smoke. The fire didn't hurt him at all. Why? Because Jesus was there, and because he has power over death and the grave, and he has power over all of the elements here on earth, because he's the creator of them all, and nothing can happen to you outside of God and him allowing it to. And although Satan would desire to devour you, I want you to understand, you and I, we have the advantage. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 29 says, "Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?" Now, that's Jesus talking, and he was talking about how he was going to cast out the devil from this young boy. And he says, hey, I'm going to devour. How could I go into Satan's realm? How could I go into the place where Satan's in control of, except I have power to bind him first and then go in and do what I want to do? God has power over Satan. Satan doesn't even have the keys to his own kingdom. God has him, according to the book of Revelation. God has him. Now, God is the victor. The only way Satan gets an advantage over you and I is because we let him. Satan desires to blind us. Satan desires to bankrupt us. Satan desires to have an advantage over us. You're going to like this one. Are you ready? He bamboozles us. How many of you know what bamboozle means? I figure most of you. Bamboozle is to be tricked, to be deceived, to be lied to be scammed, to be cheated. How many of you have ever been bamboozled? I'll tell you what. Yeah. Scam artists are everywhere today. So everybody trying to find a way to cheat you out of this or that. But I want you to know the greatest scam artist that ever lived is Satan. And he desires to bamboozle you. John 8:44 says, "When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." You know, he started this whole thing a lying. He started the whole thing way back there in Genesis. In Timothy, we see that Adam loved Eve. Adam was not deceived, but Timothy tells us that Eve, being deceived, ate of the fruit. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, you know he came and he said, "Hath God said?" Satan tries to get you to doubt the love of God. He tries to get you to doubt the power of God, the work of God in your life. He wants to trick you, to scam you, to cheat you. But we're not ignorant of his devices. He comes to us in times of anguish. I think about him coming to Jesus when he was weak, when he had fasted for so long. And he says, "Hey, commanded these stones be made bread." Jesus, of course, would have the power to do that. Tempted by Satan at a time when he was weak. Satan's going to come and try and trick you. He'll lie to you. He'll deceive you when you're weak. Everyone in their life experiences times of sorrow, times of heartache, times that are the hardest of our days. During those times of sorrow, during those times of heartache, our emotions are at a frazzle. Our mental stamina is worn down to nothing. It takes an extra measure of patience just to endure. And then Satan shows up. Satan shows up. And he tries to tell you that God doesn't love you. He'll try and lie to you, friend, when you're in the middle of a time of anguish, great tragedy in your life. He'll lie to you and tell you that Satan does, that God doesn't love you. He'll lie and say that this is your fault. This wouldn't happen to you if God loved you. Well, let me remind you this morning that for God so loved the world that he gave. God loves you with an immeasurable love. But Satan would try and lie to you and you would be there. I mean, you think about Job. Think about Job going through this, and Satan sent his three thugs down there. They call themselves friends of Job. Sent them guys down there to tell Job, what did you do wrong? You must have sinned. This wouldn't be happening to you if you hadn't sinned. What I'm saying is Satan's a liar. He's a deceiver. And in a time of anguish in your life, he's going to come and he's going to try and deceive you to believe a lie. Don't be ignorant of his devices. Don't allow Satan to convince you of those falsehoods during that time of anguish. God loves you. Satan's going to come in times of affliction. You need to trust God in your time of affliction. You need to know that God knows what you're going through. Don't let Satan have the advantage. Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. Quote it for me. What does it say? For I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. That's a truth that's found in the Word of God. But Satan would come at this time in your life when you're going through an affliction and say, God doesn't know what's going on. God doesn't understand. God's not aware. He doesn't know what you're enduring. But God knows. All things work together for good. At times when you're afflicted, you are most vulnerable. Do you know when your body is afflicted, you become very vulnerable or susceptible to other diseases, to other sicknesses? That's why when you go to the hospital to visit Doug, they tell you, hey, you got to squirt that stuff all over your hands before you go in the room. Got to wipe that all over. You know, you got to get clean. Got to wipe everything down. In a little while, they'll tell you, you got to put a robe on. You can't wear your street clothes into his room. You got to put a mask on. Why? Because he's very susceptible. Do you know when you're afflicted, you're very susceptible? And the devil knows that. And he comes in and tries to convince you of a lie. You know, when you're very susceptible, there's some things that you need. You need to be in a clean environment. Come on now. When you're susceptible to a lie of the devil, you need to get into a clean environment. You need to be around God's people. You need to be in God's house. You need to be around the Word of God, not out in the world. Many people would use a time of affliction as an excuse to run from God, as an excuse to stay home from church, as an excuse to get away from their Bible reading. After all, I'm going through this time of affliction, and the devil has you bamboozled. He's put a blinder over your eyes. He's tricked you. He's deceived you, and he's gained the advantage on you. Because when you are afflicted, you need to be in a clean environment. You need to get a hold of some good food. You've got to get a good diet in you. You can't be living I'll tell you something I like. I like Doritos with sour cream. Dip the Dorito in sour cream. Oh, it's delicious. But you can't live on that when you're not feeling good. You need to get in a clean environment. You need to eat some good food. You need to drink lots of water. Drink lots of water. Yesterday, I believed that I had food poisoning. I ate something that did not agree with me, and for most of the day yesterday, I actually thought I wasn't going to be able to be here today. I felt so bad. I praise God that He cleared it up. But yesterday was rough. I was afflicted. I was down, trying to study and prepare for today, and I couldn't concentrate. And I thought, man, you're such a wimp. You got a little tummy ache, and you're whining. Couldn't help but think about those in our church who have been going through so much for so long. Day after day, enduring that affliction. Day after day, getting that news from the doctor. Day after day, dealing with that pressure. I want you to understand, church family, when they're afflicted, they need somebody to lift them up in prayer. Because the devil would want to bamboozle, you know what I'm saying. The devil wants to do it to them. The devil wants to come in at that time of their affliction and pull them down. We as a church need to lift them up. He'll try and afflict you any way he can. He may send persecution. One of his favorites is discouragement. He'll send discouragement your way. The devil knows, and he'll try and get you to think that you don't deserve this. Why, if God loved you, this wouldn't be happening. The devil's trying to gain an advantage. There are multitudes of people today, right now, that are outside riding their bicycles. They're right now mowing their grass. They're out picking up some groceries for what they're going to do later today. And a few years ago, they were in church. But they're not in church today. Do you know why? Because the devil has bamboozled them. The devil tricked them into believing a lie that somebody offended them, that something happened that they didn't like. And they walked out of church, and in a time of affliction, when the affliction passes, instead of being closer to God, instead of being in a greater relationship with God and feeling and knowing God's love and God's presence and God's protection through that time of affliction, they walk away bitter, angry, and upset, and they say, I'll never be back. Satan did that. Because he's the adversary, and he desires to have an advantage. This morning, if you're going through the valley, know that the mountain is just on the other side. If you're going through a dark time in your life, if it's the middle of the night, know that the morning is just around the corner. If you are enduring a storm right now in your life, if you're facing that storm and it seems like there's no wind, understand that the sun is just behind the cloud. This too will pass. And during your time of affliction, don't let Satan gain an advantage in your life. Has he blinded you? Have you given in and you're letting him bankrupt your life? Taking you headlong down a path to destruction. You've joined up. Maybe he's tricked you and deceived you into believing a lie this morning. If you're here this morning, don't let Satan have the advantage over you.